You're listening to Amav Chazor. Daniel Eiser from Sachas Pesachim Daf Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis. We're going to start at the bottom of Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. We'll do from Rabbi Akiva, I guess. Chamisha Dvarim Siva Rabbi Akiva Es Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai Kishahaya Chavush Beis Hasurim. So we're 7-8 lines from the top, from the bottom. Rabbi Akiva commanded Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai 5 things when he was in prison. Which time was this? Was Rabbi Akiva in prison? It's likely that this was the time referenced in the Gemara in Brachos. That's what Rashbam says. That was the time in Maseches Brachos that we learned about, where there was a decree forbidding teaching of Torah, and it was at that point. And some say, I think I heard from Dr. Henry Abramson that some suggest it was he was imprisoned at some point during the Bar Kochba, the downfall of the Bar Kochba revolt, when they were shutting it down. He was in prison because he was obviously a big supporter of Bar Kochba. Whatever it was, but it's nice to see Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai during this Tekufa leading up the week before Lag BaOmer. So he was in prison. Amar Lo, he said to him, Rabbi Lamdeni Torah, teach me Torah. Amar Eini Melamdecha, I'm not going to teach you Torah. Amar Lo. Right, like this is why I'm here in the first place, and it's a discussion of but you should have said that before you were put in jail. Right, he was put in jail because he was doing it in public. It wasn't even teaching it privately. He was teaching it for Hesia. So if that's why, then this comes out a little bit funny that he's, you know, that what do you mean? Like, this is why you're in jail in the first place. So might as well teach me Torah. Could be though that this would be like the next level. It could be that he felt that it was no longer necessary to do it for Hestia, like he took a stand and made a difference already. Whatever it is, he said, "Amar lo, imei nata melamdeni, ani amar le yochai abba moser chol malchus." It's like, if you believe it or not, I'm going to tell my tati on you. If you don't teach me Torah, I'm going to tell Yochai, my father, and he's going to give you over the malchus. Did Yochai have some pull in the malchus? What exactly is it? Or he's already in jail. How much worse could it get? But that's the threat. It's an empty threat. Is he just trying to demonstrate his passion? Amar lo, he says, "Bini Yosef Rimasha Egal Rotsa Linek Lehanek Para Rotsa Lehanek." He says, in famous line, "My son, more than the calf wants to nurse, the mother cow wants to nurse the cow." Right? The mother cow is in pain and desperately wants to not just for the benefit of the calf, also for the benefit of itself, for both. Right? I guess maybe that's why it's more. Right? The calf. The calf just wants his own. The mother wants the calf to get it, and also is in physical pain because she wants to get the milk out. So it could be that's why it's more. I don't know. Amar lo. So he said, but basically what he's saying is, like, I would trust me more than you want to learn Torah. I want to teach you Torah, but it's not the right time, wrong time, wrong place. Amar lo. He said, Umi b'sakana, v'halo ego b'sakana. Yep. Who's at risk here? The calf is the one that's at risk. So I'm the calf, and I can make my own decisions because I'm a grown-up calf. I can make my own decisions. I want you to teach me Torah. Amar lo, he says to him, "Im bakashta lichanek hayitzla be'ilan gadol." If you want to hang yourself on a big tree. Okay. So it sounds like it's a response. And then he proceeds to say, "Kshatam alamid is binecha lamedev b'sefer muga." When you want to teach your child a sefer, you teach him from a sefer that's correct. So what's going on? Did he agree? So the way Rashi and Rashbam understand that first statement is that he had already conceded. He's like, "Okay, I'm going to teach you Torah. The first thing I want to teach you, first principle, is if you want to hang yourself on a tall tree." That was the teaching. What does that mean? So the way Rashi and Rashbam explain is that if you want to say, if you want a teaching of yours to get across, be accepted, you should hang it on a tall tree. Meaning, you should say in the name of somebody who is much greater that they'll accept it. So this is, I guess, before Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's prominence or maybe higher level prominence, whatever it is. But you should attach it to someone else. So the question is, so many understand this Rashi to be that a heter to say something in the name of somebody else, even though it's not correct. You believe it's correct, but you want people to accept it, so you'll say it in the name of somebody else who didn't actually say it, meaning it's a lie. Really? We've seen such a thing before. We saw it in Erev in a little bit with Rabbi and Rav Yosef. They had to quickly make Erev before Shabbos and Shrisa, and he quoted something in the name of Rav Yossi. It wasn't really Rav Yossi, but something like that. I even asked him for Shechter because it bothered me. He just saw me look at the Mepharshim there. I did. But anyway, but this is explicitly against a different Maamar Chazal, which says it's absolutely forbidden to do that. The question is under what circumstances could that be done? It can't be done. That's one point. I personally don't see it in the Rashi so much. I don't think it's necessarily saying that, though much greater minds than me have read this Rashi and said it. But I think you could read Rashi as saying that just find somebody else who said the same thing and then use them. Meaning not that you say something and someone who never said it, find, trace it back to a proper source, and that'll go further than your own Chiddush. Okay. That's the first bit of wisdom. Second piece, and when you teach your son Torah, you teach him from a correct sefer. Right. My he, what does it mean? I'm a Rav Avisim, Rav Masharsha, Bechadata, with a new student, someone who's young. Why? Shebashta, Kevanda al. Because a mistake, an Shebashta is like an error in the text, once it enters, it enters. So it's saying that, let's say you want to teach a kid. You're not trying to teach him Chumash. Let's say you're trying to teach him letters, you're trying to teach him Aleph, but you're trying to teach him something very, very basic. So now you have a sefer with some mistakes, but it's really not a big deal because we're just practicing Kriya Balma or something like that. So you might think it's okay. No. Because when the error enters in, if he starts off, tabula rasa, and he starts off a blank slate, and he starts off learning something, it sticks. And the mistakes that you teach him when he's young will stick. So don't just teach something incorrect just for the sake of teaching it, because I'm teaching it. No. Make sure you teach it correctly earlier on. Lo sevashaba kadera shebisho b'chayvercha. Do not cook in a pot that your friend cooked. It's a kosher shalot, right? No, mainu, what is it? Grusha b'chayei bala. It means don't marry a divorcee in the life of her husband. Meaning, if her husband is still alive, don't marry a grusha. Don't marry the grusha. Why not? Damar, gorush shenasa grusha, because the master said a divorced man who marries a divorced woman, arba deos b'mita. There are four minds in the bed. Right? Because, so Rashbam elaborates, b'shas tashmish, ze libo le'ishto, rishona, v'zos le'bala rishon. So who's in the bed? So this is the garush, his ex, and the grusha, and her ex, and they're all there. Because they're all in mind. Mibay sema fil ba'almana. Some say even ba'almana. Right? So Rashbam, that says that there is something strong the Rashbam says, I'll just say it, of you banav krovin l'mamzerin. What happens is that the children become close to mamzerin. But b'ni grusha salev, they're like spiritual mamzerim in a sense, because there's someone else in mind, which is in general there's the prohibition of people thinking about other people when they're with their spouse. Right, it's spiritually a very, very harmful thing, and some sort of mamzerus. And this is natural to happen for a garush and a grusha. But at first it seems to be not an almana, because often an almana Hashem provides a certain type of nechama that allows them to forget and be able to move on when the person's still alive. Now, so it's not saying it's usur. To marry a divorcee, obviously not. And it's just a factor to be mindful of, and especially if
is it more for mumzerus reasons or for just
stomp? It's not real mumzerus.
Let's say she's beyond childbearing age. What's the problem then?
I think it's a caveat just to be mindful of, which is that there might be other people in mind. So it's not, meaning it's not, and it's maybe not even just specifically to detachment itself. It could be even beyond that. Just something to be mindful of. They don't think that, you know, you see a person in front of you and it's like, okay, no, she's single, he's single. So it's like a normal thing. That there could be some sort of, you know, other baggage there in a sense. Just something to be mindful of. It's a caveat. But I mean, there's no isser in obviously not marrying a divorced person. And I think it's, you know, it's a mila when someone is able to do it. But someone should know what they're going into. Balmana lefisha in right okay and so even balmana, wait, hold on, what's wrong with almana? Almana, she presumably got over her husband in a sense. There's sort of some sort of nechama. She's not thinking about him while she is with her new husband. What's the problem? Why lefisha ain kol etzbaos shavos? Because not all fingers are the same size. Maven yavin, right? Rashi Rashbam, right? Meaning that when there's comparison, right? So in the Jewish world. In the Geisha world, so this is just that's just the way things are. In the Jewish world, there's typically not comparison in this regard. So, what are the rare cases of comparison when there was a previous spouse? So, something to be mindful of. You know, it's you don't want it, right? You don't want it to be you hate Tashmish Zed Tovla Karishon Vitizalzabo. She's gonna be mezalzel him. He's like, oh, you know, it was once. So much better. It creates that. It can create that. Something to be mindful of. Again, it's not prohibition. Okay. Mitzvah, the guf gadol. If you want to know, okay, so this is really, really hard to read. It's commandment, a mitzvah, and a big body. Oh, so if you want a mitzvah and a big body, ochel peros velo. Sachar. You eat fruits, and there is no reward or payment. So basically, the way that the Mefarshim read this is that if you want a mitzvah, but also has a big body that there's big like financial benefit in it. So we're going to tell you something that's a good idea financially. That's also a mitzvah. And Rashi and Rishbam explain there's something called this mishkanta de surah, certain of deal that they do in surah. But basically, I'll just read around Rishbam. Ocha peres velo sechar hilva maos lechavercha. So you lend money to your friend al karka, and it's going to be it's on the land. The land is the collateral. Lecho and lecho peros b'nechayasa bezol. She does not get low, right, and he's allowed to. But the one who's currently holding the land is allowed to eat from the fruits during those years, and he can deduct at a good rate the loan. A davar muad min adamim commission nakta his mishkanta to surah behind you revach gadol. This is financially quite lucrative for the lender. Vegam mitzvah, it's also mitzvah. She shall love a schar revach should serve the most schar because he gets the money he needs. So it's a very good way to lend. That is actually where you can make money, but it's not ribbis. That's the key, right? Because like in general, like lending, great, but you can't get money from ribbis. But over here, it's a way to lend that it's not considered ribbis, but you actually can benefit financially. It's a good deal. So that's what's referenced here by mitzvah v'guf gadol, ochel peros lo sachar. Mitzvah v'guf tahor, if you want a mitzvah and a purified body, no se isha v'lo banim, marry a woman and she has children. And he has children. And he has children. So I saw
he has children.
Oh, yeah. So I think there's a couple of ways to understand this. I think it was Igros Moshe brought down the article, but that either it's saying that, so the guf tahor, the pure body, is that if a man is married, so he has an outlet for what would otherwise lead to tumah in the body, whether doing averos or thinking bad things, which lead to shechva zera levatel and things like that. So he's married. That provides a guf tahor for him, and it could also be a mitzvah. Either if he has children from it. So having children from it is part of the mitzvah peruvu. Or it's saying even if he already has children, so why should he be married? Let's say he's got divorced or his wife passed away after he already has children. So he already fulfilled his mitzvah peruvu. Why should he be married? Because you get the guf tahor in addition. So that's what's going on here. And it's similarly phrased, obviously, right? Mitzvah of a guf gadol, mitzvah of a guf tahor. So it's just okay. Arba dvarim tziva Rabbeinu HaKadosh es banav. There are four things that Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, commanded his children. Al tador b'shachan siv. Do not live in shachan siv. Mishum delitzani havu. Because there are mockers, there's scorners, there are mashkul b'litzenus. They're going to drag you into their litzanus. Val yeshev al mitas aramis. Do not sleep on the bed of an Aramean woman. Ikadamri delo tigni below kriya shma. There are some who say, do not sleep without saying kriya shma. Do not lie down without saying kriya shma, which is the minhag of the Aramim, says Rashi. And Rashbam, I don't know if I saw this somewhere, I heard this somewhere, or if it's my own shot, but that it's not saying Kriya Shema. What do you mean? That's like, why is it sleeping on an Aramean woman's bed? So it could be that an Aramean woman or any other woman that he shouldn't have in mind might be in his mind in his bed, right? A man's lying in his bed, he could be thinking about all kinds of things, women that he saw during the day, and that could be problematic. But part of saying Kriya Shema and saying Psukim is to get your mind focused on holy things before you go to sleep. So it could be that prevents him from sleeping on an Aramean woman's bed, meaning he's saying Kriya Shema, and now so there's no more Aramean women, meaning non-Jewish women or whatever else. Pikadamri, there's another pshat. Delo tinsiv giorta. Do not marry a gioris. Right? Rashbam says that it's because it's interesting. It's because even 10 generations after a ger, they can be very sensitive about what they do. So what's the problem? Like, why is that a problem to marry Gioris? In fact, we just learned.
It's coming up also in Shavuos.
Yeah, right. And not only that, but Rus was the great, 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 great grandmother of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi himself, who's instructing this. And we just saw in last week's parsha, like that you have to ask a ger, you have to lo kamoch, you have to love a ger like yourself, and saying not marry gioras. So it could be it was specific to his sons. And Rashbam says that there's a concern that you might offend her. So it could be that they're because whatever it is. So it could be that it could be particularly in Rebbe's family. He felt like they're very very big on yichus, and they talk about like Rebbe Nasi come from David HaMelech, this and that, and it could be that they would cause her some offense by accident, indirectly, and that's why he commanded his sons, specifically, don't marry a gioras. That's what I would gather from Rashbam. The Rashbam says, Mishum damrinam giora ad asara dari lo tevaze arama ba'ape. That a gioras, a ger, until 10 generations, don't disgrace him to his face. Right? Just only speak Lashon Hara behind his back. But they're very sensitive. So why? What kind of reason is that? So that's why I'm suggesting maybe it's that he felt his sons in particular would accidentally cause that to take place. Okay, so that's a second shot in not marrying, not lying in an Aramean woman's bed. Right? That don't marry a gioras. Third shot. Don't lie on her bed at all, like a really an Aramis woman's bed. Well, yeah, that's obvious, but what does it mean? No, doesn't mean obviously going up to her bedroom and doing that. Will be shum ma'isa of papa because of the ma'isa of Rav Papa. So this is interesting. Rashi and Rashbam quote the same story, which is that there was an Aramis who owed Rav Papa money. And we just saw actually in the previous Amud, the previous staff, I forgot, that Rav Papa, just a few dollars on the base, that Rav Papa was on one side and Abaye moves him to the other side. He's like, wait, you're putting me in the way of demons. Did you maybe from Wednesday night? Oh, maybe.
No,
I'm recording. Yeah, okay. That was my fault. So anyway, yeah, so he puts him in the way of demons. Rav Papa's like, why are you putting me in the way of demons? He's like, no, you're fine because the Sham is Acheches Loch, that you're clearly going through good fortune right now. You're fine. And Rashi there says Rav Papa was wealthy, and he said, because you're wealthy, you have like a good thing going for you. The demons won't hurt you. So over here, so Rav Papa, he over here, we had another story where he's owed money, and basically it says that she she wanted to get out of owing him money. So what would any normal woman do in such a situation? She, no. She, I don't know what woman you know, but she strangled her child to death and put him under like the couch, the bed couch in her living room, and said, "Grab a seat, I'll get you your money." And so he's like, "Sure." So he grabs a seat, sits on the couch, and then she comes out and she says, "What'd you do? You killed my son." And then he said, "Oh no." And it says, "Ubarach min hamadina," and he fled the country. Rav Papa fled the country with this. So that's the Maaser Rav Papa. That's why you don't sit on an Arameis couch. Rav Papa obviously lived well after Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. He's like a fifth generation Amora. But it's saying because of that kind of thing, like, and that's a proof, that's a support for what Rabbi warned his children a couple hundred years earlier. Big problem though is like the Gemara in Brachos Taf Achesam and Beis quotes the story in the text of the Gemara and says the same. It's the same back and forth of don't sleep on a Rameses woman's bed, and it has all three shut in, and says the Maaser Rav Papa, and then it tells the Maaser Rav Papa, and the Maaser Rav Papa over there, she said, "Sit up." She said, "I'll get your money. Sit on the couch." She says, "I'm not sitting until you lift it first." And he lifted it first, and they saw the child. It's like, ah, see, glad I didn't do it. So it's very strange. It's very strange. And then Rashi there, is commenting normally on that Gemara. So I was looking around. I saw this, the Pesach Einayim on the Rashi and Brachos comments and says this is clearly problematic compared to the Gemara and Pesachim. So see what I say in my humility. See what I say there. So I checked what he said there, and it was a long piece, and it was just a couple minutes before share. So I didn't get to. But it is addressed. It is addressed somewhere. But this Rashi and Rashbam's version of the story is beferish against the Gemara and Brachos. It's very, very similar. And then, you know, Baruch Hashem, it ended up much better from him in Brachos. Okay.
Could it be two different stories? I mean, it's simple. Maybe he learned from his first mistake.
He was already out of the country to come back. Could be. Yeah, it was possible. Possible there are two different stories. But because of the mice over of Papa.
Yeah.
So which one? Maybe that's the answer. We'll see. V'al tavriach atzmecha. Okay, we're going to have to pick up the pace. There's a lot going on here. V'al tavriach atzmecha min ameches, and do not run away from tax collectors. Dilma mishaklulach, because maybe they'll catch you. V'shakli minach kol de'islach. Take everything they have. So don't try to evade taxes of any sort. V'al tamod b'fnei hashor, b'shah sh'ola min ha'agam, and do not stand in front of an ox at the time that he's coming up from the like a swamp, a lake. Vipnesha satan marakid ben karnav, because the satan dances between his horns. We saw this in the Gemara Brachos also. Amar of Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel, Bishor Shachor B'yomei Nisan, specifically in with a black ox in the days of Nisan. And the first one here is just to speak about, well, first in Rashi, interestingly, Rashbam, I forgot. So, yeah, Rashbam says that the satan dancing between his horns is lav dafka, means el meshuga, he goes crazy during that time. It's interesting, like we've been talking about demons constantly, and it's never like lav dafka until here. Like, no, this one's a lav dafka. It's not really satan dancing between his horns. It means that basically, it could be it's mate, Nisan is mating season, but it says that like basically the grass is coming out, and there's like a like a revach, like a widening, and they get very excited during that time, and that's not the time you want to mess with them. Tony Rav Oshaya, Rav Oshaya taught in Braisa, Rechikin Mishor Tam Chamishim Amma, from a short time. You know, short times are less of a problem. You distance yourself 50 amos. Mishor muad, from a muad, kamalai enav, as far as the eye can see, stay away. Tanamish made Rabbi Meir, there's a brisa taught teaching Rabbi Meir, reish tura b'dikula, if even at the head of the shore is in its little like food dish. A small one. Maybe a trough. Suck leigra, he should go up to the roof. Vishati darga mitutach, and throw down the ladder below you, which is funny. Right. But that's how much to get away. Even if its head is down, it's fine. No. Climb up. Lock the door. Throw away the key. You know. Okay. Amar Rav. Rav said, Nisad de Torah, de Sora, if you want to make certain sounds against the ox, hain, hain, that's what you should say. You should say hain, hain to the ox. Rashi says it's a lachash. It's like an incantation. Rashbam says, he quotes Rashi and says, it's not an incantation. It's just the type of thing that you say to get rid of an ox, you know, like shoo, you say to a fly, right? So what do you say to an ox? You say, hey, Nain, da arye, niza da arye. What do you want? If you encounter a lion, what should you say? Zeze. That works every time. No lion will touch you. All you say is zeze. Niza da gamla. What if you see a camel that you don't? Dodo. Nizha da arba, if you want to like charge and say something to sailors that you need them to like row or fast or something like that. Hilni heya hila hila kulya. That's what you say. Hilni heya hila kulya hilya. These are not real words. So there might be something very, very deep in these actual terms. So quote the Meshech Chachma, who speaks about the difference between the animals and the people. Now, for the animals, it's the same sound over and over. Do, do, ze, ze, hin, hin. For the people, there's something different. There's hila, helik, hilik, hulia. And it shows also, like, when you have different types of yitzhahara, that there's like some like very animalistic yitzhahara that you have, and then just to repeat the same mantra over and over. Do, do, ze, ze. I mean, whatever it is, meaning a maimer chazal that okay, good. Like this is, it's worth nothing. It's hevel verik. So just the same mantra over and over. But when it comes to something that's not an animalistic yitzhahara, but more of like an intellectual, humanistic yitzhahara, so you have to different things every time to try things like that. Okay. Omar Abaye said, or dag v'kos chaminu beitzei kinim levanim kulan kashin ledavar acher. All of these things, we're going to go through each one, is causes problems for a davar acher. Davar acher can mean many different things. Chazal sometimes say davar acher to mean avodah zarah. Sometimes it means, I think we had that recently, right? Davar acher, right? So davar acher could be avodah zarah, could be something like a pig. It's something that it doesn't want to say explicitly, and often it's tsaras. So over here it seems to be tsaras. So what causes davar acher? So what type of hides are we talking about? Skin. Man degani amashcha detzala. Someone that goes on the the Rashi says, not fully processed hides of a tanner. So lying on that can cause saras. Dug, which type of dug? Shibuta biyomi nisan. The shibuta fish in the days of Nisan. Kos, what does it mean? Kos over here doesn't mean cup. Shiure kasa daharsana. Like the leftovers of this karsa daharsana we mentioned about a daf ago, which is like this type of like fish oil dish of some sort. Chamin, what does it mean by chamin? Hot water. Chamime de chamime mishadju elave. Talking about very, very, very hot water that someone pours on himself frequently will cause saras. Beitzim man demidrach aklipim. Somebody who walks on eggshells, right? You're walking on eggshells, did you know? It causes a lot of problems in Shalom Bias and in other places, but it also causes tsaras, turns out. Kinim levanim, what does it mean by white lice? Aren't all lice white? Or maybe, I don't know. Well, man demechavra levushe, somebody who whitens his clothing, v'lonatirle tamanya yome v'hada levushla, and he doesn't guard it for 8 days, but he just, and within 8 days, he puts it back on, baryan hanach kinim, so those kinim, I guess, regenerate, reproduce, something like that. Basically, you have to guard it for 8 days before putting it on after laundering to get rid of it. Otherwise, it like renews their life of some sort. And lice in general, v'kashin davar acher. That's kashin davar acher. Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa said, "Beis de is beis shunra lo nail ba inish ba lo mesanes." If you have a house with a cat in it, a person should not walk in it without wearing shoes. My time, mishum de shunra de is mishum de shunra katya lechivya. Cats back in the day like to kill snakes. Ba'achile, and they would eat it. Right? We saw back in it's like a Shabbos when we're dealing with it was around this stuff, I think a Kuf Yud, we're talking about how to deal with snakes, and there were a few options of like having cats around. If you right, remember, snakes chase after you and they don't forget your scent, and there's like a whole thing there about snakes. So it's cats are a way that people killed snakes. So anyway, so that's a good thing, right? Now va'achile, so eats it, ve'isve bechivya garmi, but katan kidini, but there are small bones in the snake. Ve'iyasivla, and if it goes into someone's foot, garma dechivya achare lo nafik. And if he goes in there, then the feet, the bones of the snake can go into his foot and won't come out. Ve'lo nafik ve'istakin lein, it could cause serious damage. Ikadamri, the roast, that's teaches in a different way. Beisa deleis be shunra lo nel be inish bahachra. Rashi says it's darkness. That if you have a house without a cat, you should not go in it if it's dark. My time a dilma mikrach be chivya, because if there's no cat, then there might be a snake. Velo yodon, he's not going to know about it because it's dark. He's stocking and it's going to be dangerous for him. Right? Back then, it was much more a problem. They had earthen floors and just in general, many more animals, creepy crawlies in their house. Baruch Hashem, it's not such a problem for us nowadays. Gimel Dvarim, Tziva Rabbi Yishmael, Barabbi Yossi, Es Rebbe. There were three things that Rabbi Yishmael, Barabbi Yossi commanded Rebbe, which is strange because Rebbe was a teacher, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Nochanan does change the kirsa to Rav. Makish Simon. The Simon is Mem Kuf Shin, which seems to stand for Mum. Mecha, the Kuf of Mekach, yes, Kach, and then the Shin of Ishtecha. Okay. Al Tas Mum Ba'atzmecha. Don't make a blemish for yourself. And over here just goes through each one by one without saying all three of them first. Mahi, what does it mean? Lo tahavilach dina bahade tlasa. Do not have a din against three people. It's a big mistake. If you have a court case to do it against three people, it's a big mistake. Right? Dechad have bal dinach. Because what's going to happen? One of them is going to be the bal din against you. Vitre sahadi. And the other two guys are going to be witnesses. So it's meaning they're gonna claim not to be part of the court case and say, oh, we're a third party, we're the witnesses, and now you're in trouble. So if you have three people against you, not a good move. The Al Tamad Al Mekach, do not stand by merchandise b'shash in lachdam if you don't have money, right? Why is that? So Rashbam, Rashi, and some Mefarshim I've seen didn't say what I would say naturally. You know, you don't want to get the hopes up of the buyer. Oh, sorry, of the seller. Right, but like meaning like window shopping. With no intent to buy. Why is that? So the Mefarshim say things along the lines of because people will think either that you're buying it, so they're not going to buy it. And like if you see like there's one thing there, mm-hmm. so people will not buy it, or people will see it and then walk away. They'll say, oh, probably not worth buying. So you're doing damage to the seller. Or it could falsely make it look like it's a hot item, and it's really not. And then the prices will be jacked up because of it. So basically, if you're not really part of the scene of the business, then step out. Ishtecha tavla al tizaka la laila rishona. Shocker. If your wife tovels, do not be connected to her, meaning don't be with her, but it's a lesson. The first night, which is strange, right? That sounds the opposite of what we were taught in classes. So Amar Rav Ubanida de Raisa, the song that Nida de Raisa, Ho Vahuchsak Mayan Pasuach, because it's talking about Nida de Raisa, because her Mayan, her spring or fountain has a chazak of being open. Duma Mashcha Ziva. And maybe she'll have a flow. So Rashi and Rashbam explained over here that this is before women took upon themselves the Zayin Nekiyim. That this is saying that right after their flow stopped. So what we do nowadays, women for 1,000 years, we've taken upon ourselves that the women after they completely stopped, they do have Sektara, and then they count 7 clean days, and if one of them is interrupted, you restart. So we're not talking about that. We're talking about right after, by the Hefsek Tahara, you do mikvah, so then the first night is dangerous. But it's a mitzvah for the night when we get back, when she gets back from. Shlosh Dvarim, Tziva Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda es Rebbe. And also, this would also be Rav. Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda, Talmud Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Yossi, his son, taught Rav. Al Tetze Yechidi Belaila, do not go out alone at night. Val Talmud Bifnei HaNer Arum, and do not stand in front of a candle naked. V'al Tikanes Lamerchatz Chadash, and do not enter a new bathhouse. Shema Tipaches, because maybe it'll open up. Right. Basically, I think we've seen this somewhere else. We saw it earlier. I forgot where we saw it together. That basically the baptizers that they had, they were like boards. It was dangerous. In fact, there was even a bracha or a certain tefillah that you say thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu if you survived going into like a new bathhouse because it's so dangerous. They're like boards and burnt and like halal and open space and boiling hot water underneath or fires underneath that heat of the water. So you walk on the boards. It's dangerous. So there's a concern that it might happen. Ad kama, until when? When is it safe? I'm Rishon Levi, Ad Yud Beis Chodesh. After a year, if you know for a year it's safe, then you go. Right? So whoever the guinea pigs were who couldn't hold back from taking a bath, you find out from them. That if they're not around to ask, did you guys survive? Then you don't go and wait a year. Al tamod b'fnei haner arum, so don't stand in front of a candle naked. Netanya ha'omid b'fnei haner arum have a nichba. Someone who stands before a candle undressed is nichba. So the article translated as will be seized he'll become epileptic. Seized by epilepsy. And someone who is mishamish mitaso by the light of a candle, he'll have children who are nichben. Tana rabbanan, mishamish mitaso al mita shetinok yashin. Rashi and Rashbam didn't translate nichba here. I didn't see it there. So mashamash mitaso amita shetinok yashin. Somebody who is mashamash mitaso on a bed that a baby is lying on, oso tinok nichbe. That child will also become nichbe. V'lo amran eladolu havi barshata. But it's only if he's not a year old. Aval havi barshata. But if he's already a year old, leislan bad. It's actually not a problem, at least for nichbe. V'lo amran eladagani lahade kare. But that's also if he's at the foot of the bed. Level gani lahade reshe. But if he's at the head of the bed, leislan bar. Also not an issue. V'lo amran eladolu manach yadei levei. It's also if he didn't place his head on his hand. Level manach yadei levei. But if you place your head on his hand, your hand on his head, leislan bar. Also he's protected from this. Al teitzi yichidi balayla. Do not go out at night. So detanya lo to the brisa. Lo yitzi yichidi balayla lo balele revios v'lo balele shabbosos. You do not go out at night on Wednesday nights, nor on lele shabbosos Friday nights. So it's Wednesday nights, or maybe it's Tuesday nights. It's really Tuesday nights. Yeah, Tuesday nights. Erev Wednesday. Vipnei sha'agras bas machlas he, because there's agras bas machlas that we mentioned a couple of blad ago. She's some sort of demon. Ushmona asrei ribo shamalchei chavala, and she has with her 18 a big posse, 18 ribo. So it's 10,000. So I guess 180,000 angels of destruction, yotzin. V'chol echad v'echad yesh l'rishus l'chavel b'fnei akmo. And each one of them has a little walk around with a tuda that says we're allowed. They have a license to damage. Beichara have a shchichi kule yoma. It used to be that they would come every day. Zimnachada paga b'Rabbi Yechanina ben Dosa. So, but one day she encountered Rabbi Yechanina ben Dosa. Amra le, she said to him, "Ilav de machrazan alach berakia." If I didn't hear them announce in the heavens, he is Haru b'Chanina b'Taraso. Watch out for Chanina and his Torah. Sakantich. I would damage you right now. Right? Look, just you have friends in high places apparently, so that's why I'm not going to mess with you. Amar la, he said, Yichashivna berakia. Turns out if I'm chashiv in the heavens, I didn't know that. Right? Big tzaddik, big enough. I hadn't realized that. Chanina b'Dosa. There is a voice that would come out every week. That would the boss call, or maybe every day. That's like woe is to the generation. Like basically, they're so completely supported by Rukhina Medosa. Well, Rukhina Medosa would survive on very little amount of food, just a cav of carbs from week to week. So he was a tremendous tzaddik, and there's a boss call that would come out every day and declare his tzidkus, but he didn't know until this demon told him. At least that's what he says. But he says, "If I am." So Gosar Nialecha or Alayach, I decree upon you, Shalotavuri be Yeshuv Liolam. You should never be around here. Never come out to the settled places where people are around. You should never have rishus to be here. Amrale, she says, Bimatusa Minach, please I beg of you. Shavakli Ravacha, Pursa, please give me a little bit of a break. give me some space. You gotta give me some permission. I have to do my shopping at some point. So Shavak La Lele Shabasas Lele Ravios. So he let her have Wednesday, Tuesday nights and Friday nights. Why? Because those, by me at least, are the garbage nights. So I can take out garbage basically, I would encounter demons whenever I take out the garbage. That's what I think how it turns out. Okay, I guess that's probably a shot. V'suchada zimna, and then another time, paga beba abaye. She encountered abaye. Amrale. So this is generations later. Hanina Mendoza is a Tana. Abaye is a middle generation Amora. Fourth generation Amora, something like that. Ilav timechareze Allah berakia hisharu. Binachmani, but also, if it was not declared, announced in the heavens, watch out for Nachmani and his Torah. Havasakanti, I would damage you. Nachmani is a nickname for Abaye. Rashbam says Lafisha Gidlo Rabba Bar Nachmani Korokain. He was an orphan. He was raised by Rabba. Rabba was by his adopted father. He might have been an uncle as well, and so he was called Nachmani. The question is, did Rabba name Abaye Nachmani? Did he name him? So he might have, or did he have that name, or maybe he was called Abaye because of that? Abaye might mean like Abba, like he's my almost like my father, like a lotion of Abba. There's a Chassam Sofer who says that it's Abaye is Rosh Tevos for Asher Becha Yerucham Yasom. That it's a pasuk in Hosea that Hashem will Hashem is the one who comforts Yisomim. So Abaye is Rosh Tevos for that. Anyway, Abaye was so Nachmani might have been his actual name or at least the nickname of Abaye. So they say, I heard about you that you're great. So otherwise I damage you. Amar Allah, he said to her, Ichashivna Berakia. So if that's true, Guzarni Alaychi, I decree on you, Shalotel Rabbi Yishuv Liola. No heter for Tuesday nights and Thursday and Friday nights. And this is not the first time, I think it might be the third time or something like that, where we see Abaye kind of making statements and doing certain things that limit the power of demons. Or when we were talking about Zugos, so Abaye and Rava were of the group that said even three is not a problem for Zugos. We see a few times Abaye, this later generation Amora, is fighting the battle against demons. Okay, anyway, the Gemara just questions, Hakazina and Avra, but we see that they pass. Amre, so they said, regarding this, Hani gazaisa ninhu deshamte susya vaasu dabre lahu. The ones that people see are the ones that Rashi says are the ones that come on mavoos. That they're like they're in these gazaisa, like these alleyways, and they're like their horses ran away, the demons' horses ran away, and deshamte susya vaasu dabre lahu, and they go to lead their horses back, but they're not really like. Because the problem is they're kind of just like going to get their horses. We see this like there's a whole like life, right? We saw a couple of blad ago about a woman, a female demon who warned her son, "Oh no, this type of tree killed your father and is going to kill you if you don't watch out." Like there's some whole life to these demons, and they have horses that run away, and I guess they have to pay taxes too, and make a living. So very interesting.